Front page, Thursday edition. Rob Cameron is my name. Welcome back, everyone. We've got a lot to get through in the second hour of our show. Thank you very much for tuning in. It was probably 6 or 8 months ago when we first talked to Leonie McKeon about things regarding Australian and Chinese trade relations, which are at that time were abysmal, to say the very least. Australia had jumped on a pedestal and made some very strong international statements around China, and they took offence, which any person who knows how Chinese relations work weren't one bit surprised. But Leonie, welcome to the show. Good to have you back.
Thanks, Rob. Great to be back.
Have things improved?
Well, I think things are at a bit of a standstill, actually. There's not as much deterioration, but it's at kind of a bit of a standstill at the moment. There, I think the Chinese are sort of looking at having a bit of a go at the hay industry at the moment. They seem to be, which is obvious to me as to why, they seem to be, you know, looking at industries and attacking industries, I suppose you could say, affecting industries that they don't really need. So, for example, wine, meat, barley, hay, lobster, yes, they like these products and they're luxury items, a lot of them, but they can get these products from other places, and also they do actually have their own. But, you know, they haven't really touched iron ore, for example, because they need that. So, you know, they're looking, they're sort of making sure in this sense that they are affecting places or affecting our exporters that they don't really need. It's not essential that they have these products.
When we last spoke, Simon Birmingham was the Trade Minister, and when I saw him interviewed, he looked like a rabbit in a spotlight. There was lots of questions and no answers. He looked like there was no plan or even understanding from him as to what was going on. He's been replaced. Are things potentially going to be better for that?
I would like to think so, but I have to say things have been replaced a couple of months ago by the new Trade Minister, Dan Tehan. I see nothing has changed, Rob. Dan Tehan, he's in his portfolio when he first took over the position as our new Trade Minister. He said that the one thing, well, the top of the list was to improve the Australia-China relations. He's still waiting for the phone to ring. As far as I know, his last communication with China was in January. That's a few months ago now, and like Simon Birmingham, it seems to be a broken record. We're waiting for the phone to ring. So, no, nothing has changed. I don't see any real skill in the government as to how to deal with China. So that's my answer to that question.
It's clearly disappointing, because I would have thought a change of minister would have meant a change of tack. Otherwise, why replace the minister? I just wonder, internally in the government, we talked before about advisers, and you're a bit concerned whether they're either not receiving advice or not taking it. But you would have thought if there was a change of person in the chair that there would have been a change of philosophy.
Well, there's only a change of philosophy, Rob, if the person that is in that position of change understands what they're dealing with and has the skills to deal with that. So it's quite obvious to me that Dan Tehan doesn't know a huge amount about dealing with China. And this seems to be a repeated pattern. So just because someone changes position, if they don't have those skills, nothing is really going to change. So, you know, it's once again back to understanding China, having those skills to deal with China, and there doesn't seem to be, you know, a huge amount of skill in that area.
You're very familiar with what's going on over in China. Let's remove the Australian aspect of it. They're probably sitting in a position of worldwide power, with America still wobbly at the knees. They've got some sort of stability now, but they're still vulnerable, I suppose, to China's influence. Are China still posturing a little with their newfound strength?
Well, look, the thing is, China are becoming a global power, and they will become the global power. That's pretty obvious. And they had, you know, there was a meeting with America, about a week ago. I suppose the result of that meeting, it didn't go really that well. However, there was a bit of posturing, and there were some things that were positive, there were some things that were negative. What came out of that, which I am quite concerned about, and this was actually stated by Dan Tehan, he said, America's got our back. Now, that to me says, let America do the work. We don't have to worry about it. America's going to protect us. That, to me, is where puts us in a really dangerous position. It's like, okay, well, we'll just sort of stick with America. As far as becoming a global power, they are doing that. That's obvious. And it seems that Australia has not understood how to deal with a global power who is quite different to them. Now, we've dealt with global powers in the past, like America. We've been used to global powers that speak our language, that understand our culture, and we understand their culture. Sure, our culture is different to America, but fundamentally, we're quite similar. We're now dealing with a global power that has a different language, has a different political structure, has a different understanding of negotiation. In fact, they're extremely good negotiators and extremely good business people because, as we've discussed before, they have the fundamental methodology called the 36 Chinese strategies, which are 36 negotiating strategies. So we're now dealing with a country that there aren't a lot of similarities. That's our issue. We need to understand the differences, and the only way that we can understand these differences is to understand the culture. And we need to find some similarities, because China is not going to go away. They are only going to become more powerful. It is in our best interest, Rob, to let China rise peacefully.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. We all know from news reports coming in the power of arms that are building up in certain sections of the world, and there's always that fear. For as long as I've been alive, the Cold War was on when I first started to take notice. So we were scared of Russia and then the Vietnam War. We were scared of communism in general. We've always been scared of something, and I think now the majority of Australian people, if you had a chat to them, they are genuinely scared of China potentially being a military danger to Australia. I sort of, from what I've seen in the modern world, that most wars seem to be fought financially rather than with weapons.
Yeah, well, it's the Cold War situation, and fear comes from, you know, in anything, fear comes from not understanding what you're dealing with. When you understand what you're dealing with, the fear dissipates. So it's about helping the Australian people understand this and the government understanding, because at the moment we have no framework, we have no long-term plan about dealing with China. We don't have a China strategy, and we're just sort of, as things are coming up, we're dealing with them without any understanding and any thought behind it. And that's our issue. China have a long-term plan. They have a strategy. They have an understanding of our culture. I mean, people say to me, Leonie, but why do China understand us? Well, my answer to that is, how many Chinese students have studied business in Australia over the years? Thousands and thousands. So yes, they do understand our culture. They understand our culture through an academic framework that they've been studying for many, many years. I don't know I don't know anyone that's gone to China and studied business in a university. I mean, I studied Chinese, that's easy, but I didn't study anthropology in China. Do you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, yeah.
It's you know, it's not that people sit down and they say, okay, this is Australian culture. These people have been studying Australian business, American business, finance, economics in the West for many, many years. I mean, I think the first Chinese student came here just after Deng Xiaoping came into power, which was like 1977 or something like that. So, you know, there's been a lot of understanding of our culture, and we actually forget that there is a lot of knowledge there. China just doesn't talk about it. You know, and that's a strategy in its own right. You know, hide behind the mask of a fool. That's a strategy.
Interestingly, Australia's reliance on America is well known. In this particular case, is it just maybe a subconscious thought, we don't need to understand China because America will do that for us and we'll just follow the lead? Would there be an element of that?
Well, I think when I read that that Dan Tien said America's got our back,
yeah.
My answer to that would probably be yes, because when you say, oh, look, don't worry about it, America's got our back, you know, and they will look after us on the playing field. I mean, these kinds of statements, you know, that just says to me, well, we don't have to learn. We'll just let America do the job.
Yeah.
That's fine. And I think we have to separate the relationship we've got. We've got a diplomatic relationship with America. I'm not saying that we have to drop the relationship with America. However, we have a trade relationship with China, which really is the basis of our Australian economy, our structure. If the downward slide continues, it will affect every Australian person's hip pocket, because we our trade with China is so much, we rely on it so much. Having said that, I mean, we hear about wine and barley and all this kind of thing, and it's very easy to get caught up in that. Having said that, there is still a lot of business going on with China. And, you know, if we look at things like healthcare products, anything to do with aged care with the digital application, things that you can sell online, so there are products that are sought after, and I think that we have to look at those products, not the export products that China already has or are just really luxury products. What are the products that China really wants? I mean, anything to do with mum and baby, they're really hot products. So, you know, and like I said before, I mean, iron ore, they're not doing anything about that because they need it.
Yeah. Just on that, the media play a role, I guess, in projecting stories, and stories of depression and sadness seem to be more their will at the moment. Do they have a role in perhaps promoting the good Chinese-Australian relationship? Because we know that it's there.
Well, I think that they do have a role, but, I mean, how can you... You know, sometimes it's very difficult to get, you know, to get a balanced view on this too, because the media do their job and they grab a story and away they go. And they want to tell, their job is to tell the Australian people about that story. Unless you dive deep into that and, you know, see the whole picture, it's quite difficult to see beyond that. So, I don't know whether it's the media's job to really say, well, okay, you know, this is the positive story and this is the negative story. They probably don't see it as either positive nor negative. They probably see these stories as something that they have to report on that day.
Mm. Chinese investment in Australia is another thing that people are quite fearful of. Huge amount of investment in land and agriculture in particular to protect a food bowl source, which I think is probably a sensible thing on their part based on their population and size of country. But there's also a huge investment in real estate around capital cities in Australia that we know has taken a lot of Chinese money. Is that a concern to you, or do you think the government has it under control as to how that money's being invested?
Well, the thing is, that's been going on for a long time. the investment into real estate. In fact, one of my the consultancy jobs I have is actually, you know, looking at more, you know, providing advice for a company that does property investment here in South Australia. The investment has been going on for a very long time. There is a positive in that because quite often, you know, Chinese will invest in property, then they come here to live and then they buy things and their children go to school here and all that kind of thing. So there's all that spin-off. I don't think that's a concern. I think it's something that's probably sprung out of all of the other things that are concerned. But, you know, Chinese investment has been going on for a very long time in all of the capital cities in Australia. In fact, I think, you know, it was probably about 10 years ago here in Adelaide, there were a few of the big wine companies that were bought out by Chinese. And the Chinese actually saved the companies because the companies weren't doing real well. There was a couple of years there where there wasn't, you know, really a very good crop. So, and companies were looking for investment. So there's sometimes, you know, getting cash from another country isn't such a bad thing. It's about how you deal with that, and it's about how you can deal with your new Chinese business partners. So each investment, you know, portfolio has, has the positive and the negative. It's about understanding who you're dealing with and what is the spin-off from that. But it has been going on for a while, and I think that, you know, this is something else. Oh, you know, Chinese investment, what's happening with that as well?
So the overall view, Leonie, without me putting words into your mouth, is that it's business as usual, but maybe no news is good news in the sense that nothing seems to be happening, but behind the scenes, the fact that it's not getting worse is good news.
Well, that is good news, and I like to keep a positive on this because I believe, you know, that we cannot do without China because we're so, you know, connected with China. And to all of the people, your listeners, that do have relationships with China, my advice is, and there are many of them, my advice is keep those relationships going and, you know, don't get caught up in what's going on, because if you do have a good relationship with your Chinese suppliers, your Chinese distributors, your Chinese friends, your Chinese contacts in China, keep those relationships going because they are vital, and you've built up those for a very long time. The other thing is that I would advise, there's a lot of talk about diversification. Nothing wrong with diversification. However, diversify but do not decouple. So I would not just get rid of China, because to look at other countries to export your product, China is probably most of your listeners' biggest customer. Mm. So if we have all these other, it's like having one big customer and then all these other little customers. If you completely get rid of your big customer and then you've got a lot of work with all your little customers, like, you know, your Vietnams and your Thailands and your your Japans and all those people that are much smaller customers than China, keep the relationship going. Nothing wrong with diversification, but not to decouple. Just keep it going. Hang in there. Some people have been hit worse than others. Of course, you know, the wine and the barley and, of course, the lobster industry. However, there are industries that haven't been hit. So, hang in there, so to speak.
Yeah, it's interesting. You made that comment about people having connections to China in some way, even if you don't think you do. If you actually do some research through your current employer, you might find that that their sustainability is very much on a relationship with China somewhere. So we may all inadvertently have a very strong connection to a Chinese-Australia business relationship.
Well, we've probably, over the years, yes, and we probably don't even realise it. I mean, if you just look around at any room that you sit in or any clothes that you're wearing, you'll notice that most of them are made in China.
They most certainly are.
So, you know, it's, you know, if we look at even that aspect of it, we need to, you know, sort of keep those relationships going.
Most definitely. Leonie, thank you so much for your time again. We'll check in a few weeks, and hopefully the situation will be continuing to improve, albeit slightly. For the reasons that you've said, both countries need each other. That's probably a little bit of posturing on one side of the fence and naivety on the other, but hopefully we'll get a happier place by the end of 2021.
That would be terrific. Thanks very much, Robert.
All the best, Leonie. Bye for now.